Thank you, members. If we can reconvene for item number two. As mentioned in this item, we do have Planning Officer Alan Harvey who's joined us and Highways Officer Malcolm Jones who's joined us. So item number two, we're here to look at planning application P2023-00318. It's the alterations, new build works and extension to existing agricultural buildings to provide for increased eaves and ridge heights and floor area, re-cladding and installation of solar panels to accommodate a proposed change of use for the construction of holiday lodges. Being a commercial stroke light industrial use, Class E, along with associated parking provision and access alterations. Site address, Wall Ash Farm, Wall Ash, Mayfield, Staffordshire. I'll pass over to the planning officer to present the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As you say, it's quite a long-winded application description and I won't go over it again. But in terms of the application, I mean, I'm conscious that there are a number of public speakers and local councillors registered to speak as well. And Councillor Sankey actually called the application to Planning Committee. I would just remind members that there's an update sheet on this application as well. And I'll refer to that at relevant points in the presentation. There's also been a number of correspondences, both on behalf of the applicants and in terms of objectors, in terms of various issues, in terms of in the lead up to committee parking on the road. Members obviously saw the site today and obviously officers would trust their judgment in making a balanced decision as ever at committee. What I would say is, just as I looked it up, because there was some discussion in terms of the highway code, just to state that Rule 243, indeed, of the Highway Code talks, amongst other things, do not stop or park opposite or within 10 metres of a junction except in an authorised parking space in front of an entrance to a property or on a bend. So that's as a matter of factual content. I'll also pick up other points as we go through in a technical nature as best as I can. So as we say, essentially the application in front of us is for, there's an existing building and the proposals are to do alterations to extend, raise the height of eaves and height of the building to accommodate a proposed change of use to commercial light industrial use. Officers are content that the proposal, having discussed matters with environmental health, falls within the remit of a light industrial use. Matters are always like this, are subjective, and as we come to the end of the proposal, you'll be outlined a series of conditions whereby we consider it to be an appropriate form of development. So in terms of the application site itself, as I say, it sits at Wall Ash Farm, as we saw today, comprises part of a group of existing agricultural buildings located to the rear of residential properties. So you've got the residential properties on the frontage on Ashbourne Road and Wall Ash, and then along Moorlands Drive. Vehicular access to the application site itself is at that point of the blue arrow, and that's taken from the west side of Moorlands Drive. To the south of the access is the dwelling at 1 Moorlands Drive, which is in the ownership of a member of the family of the applicants. And to the north is garage and a dwelling at 3 Moorlands Drive. We'll go through a series of photos just to, as an aid memoir shortly. There are also residential properties on the opposite side of the road from the entrance. And in terms of planning policy, the site is outside the settlement boundary for Mayfield, with the exception of the access. So that's shown clearly on the document there. So the village boundary is outlined in red. So everything on the right-hand side is within the village envelope, and on the left-hand side you're in open countryside from a planning policy point of view. So the application building itself sits on the northern side of the courtyard of agricultural buildings, being a minimum distance of some 50 metres away from the nearest dwelling on Moorlands Drive. The application site also includes a courtyard area and a part of a field area. So the courtyard area is where we park the bus today, and the area of the field area is to the west there. There's also a point I made to members this morning that there's a public footpath that runs to the south of the site, as is used at present. So the line is approximately there as used on site. As I spoke about, in 2018 there was a building built on the definitive line of the public footpath, which is the blue line. I've also would point out, in terms of the proposed development in front of members, that the development neither crosses the definitive line of the footpath or the loose line of the footpath. In terms of legislation, the applicants who weren't the owners of the site at the time of the 2018 building will have to, in due course, make an application to the County Council via the District Council to divert the public footpath in a formal manner. Just to put the site in a bit more context in terms of the aerial photograph, the site adjoins agricultural lands and benefits from mature hedges and vegetation along the northern boundary, which is that which members saw today, and along the southern boundary, which is beyond the application site. In terms of the actual association with the locality, so the applicants are the owners of the Snuggery, which is this application site here on Slat Lane, which comprises a number of holiday homes on that site. So they're proposing to use the application site to construct these holiday home buildings, three in total per annum. I've just popped this picture on because that was taken from the applicant's document to show typically what the buildings look like. So these buildings are actually going to be located on the site. They are being what is constructed in the building on the application site. So in terms of a photo tour of where we were today, so this is coming from Uttoxeter, and Ashbourne is to the north there. So you're entering Moorlands Drive on the left-hand side there from the A5032. And then when you get along Moorlands Drive itself, the entrance is on the left-hand side there. Also shows the topography of the area in some detail as well. So whilst the site is relatively flat itself, as we look back, and we'll see it again on a photo in a minute, the houses on Moorlands Drive rise as they go northwards. So that's the site entrance from Moorlands Drive itself. It's about 8 metres wide at the minute. So you've got the applicant's family's property on the south side, and then you've got a dwelling and the garages on the right hand. This is just the approach to the application site. So again, we parked the bus about there, and there's a row of existing buildings on the right hand side and the left hand side, and another building behind, and the application building is right at the back of the application site. Just looks like that at the moment from the south elevation. Now this is looking back from the field area. So the area here will be proposed to be a turning area. That's the application building, and it captures this photograph, the rising topography of the houses as they go up the hill. Just as a separate slide, I just thought I'd run you through the public footpath. So this takes us back onto Moorlands Drive. So that was the entrance to the public footpath, and that goes down the side of the house at number one. So it doesn't actually utilise the vehicular access to the application site itself. Then runs along the application site boundaries, and then in terms of how it's used today, it crosses the field in that sort of direction. In terms of the definitive footpath, that runs in that direction, and as you see, it's already, that area's been fenced off, and the building actually is in the way of what is the definitive footpath route. In terms of the proposed layout plan, you've got the existing building that was constructed in a period between, well, in terms of planning permissions, between 1996 and 2000, which was used to house livestock. There's been various extensions added to it over time, none of which were actually applied for here for a planning permission, but given that they've been there for more than 4 years, the building would effectively be demonstrated to be lawful. The applicants and the local residents in their submissions have also advised that prior to the applicant's purchase of the site in December 2022, that in addition to the agricultural use, there was an undertaker or funeral business being operated from the site. Just running through some slides of the existing buildings. So that's the existing building as it stands, which is proposed to be extended, altered and otherwise. That's how it will appear if the proposal goes ahead. So you've got big open door, big doors on the elevation to the courtyard, it obviously to get manoeuvre the mobile homes in and out. And then otherwise it's a sealed unit. For want of comparison, members will probably see that more clearly on their screens, but there's a blue line that shows the existing height of the building and its proposed height. So in terms of the actual changes, in terms of the height, it's going to increase to ridge by approximately a metre. There's going to be an additional 27 square metres of floor space, and the eaves height will increase by about 0.5 metres. And the button won't always work. Okay. So when we stood at the bottom of the road onto the B5032, I showed these slides to members, and a highway officer will come, maybe you know, can explain those, how they worked at the application site itself. So what they're showing is the sweat path that any lorry that was carrying lodges or coming to and from the site from the B5032 would manoeuvre into Moorlands Drive. The other sweat path we looked at this morning on site is the site entrance. So this is Moorlands Drive, and there's a proposal to increase the width of the access so that it can accept the sweat path of any vehicles entering into the site. And again, that's the turning area, which would be in the field area to the west of the existing building. So at the moment, the existing width of the drive is about 8.5 metres, and that would increase to about 10.4. Within the application site itself, there's a proposal to include 8 vehicle parking spaces, of which 3 will be for employees. There's also a proposal to provide a covered cycle parking area. In terms of the actual use, as we said, the proposal is for a construction of holiday lodges, which will be similar to the ones that the applicants have on their own Mayfield Snuggery site. In terms of the actual activities, what the applicants are proposing will be that there'll be 3 lodges manufactured at the site per year. The structure of each lodge is expected to take place and be erected within 2 weeks, with the remaining works carried out inside the actual lodge structure itself, which is maintained will act as a further noise barrier. The completed lodges will be transported from the site in 2 sections on articulated vehicles. Each of the 3 lodges will therefore require 2 trips, making a total of 6 number of, sorry, 2 lorry trips, making a total of 6 number of trips on 3 occasions annually. The question was asked how wide the lodges were. The answer to that is they are 22 feet, which is 6.7 metres in width, and they'd be taken out in 2 sections, so each section would be 3.35 metres in width. It's proposed to employ 3 full-time positions, and the hours of the business would be between Monday to Friday, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, except bank holidays, so therefore there'd be no working on Saturday, Sunday and bank holidays. And the proposal also incorporates ventilation fans to the western elevation to mitigate the need for doors and windows to be opened during warmer weather. The application submissions also state that the applicants continue to wish to farm the land purchased with the property. It's currently being let out to a local farmer, and that the remaining buildings on the site will retain their agricultural use. So, going to the crux of the the consultation responses that have been received. In terms of statutory consultees, the County Highway Authority have raised no objection, provided the use activity is restricted to that applied for, with controls on parking manoeuvring, for example. Environmental Health have raised no objection subject to conditions, including hours of operation, control of noise, outside working restrictions on the implementation of a noise management plan. In terms of the Parish Council, they raised concerns in terms of a summary as such. The site's proximity to dwellings in terms of noise, the access off the B5032 into Morlands Drive, and the access to the site not being adequate to accommodate likely lorry sizes, that the proposed industrial use would be usually located within an industrial site or on an edge of town site. The Parish Council also requested that Staffordshire County Council carry out a comprehensive report on all vehicle movement, both entering and leaving the site, in connection with the proposed development. The ward member, Councillor Sankey, called the application to committee as a number of residents have raised concerns in respect of highway safety, impacts of noise and dust. So, on the local residents' responses, I mean, members are always referred back to the committee report because at the end of the day I can't summarise, or it would take me quite a long time to go through the what is now four pages of objections and concerns, so that's on pages 10 to 13 of the report. The main issues that have been raised, and there were 16 properties responded, with one property expressing support and 15 raising objections and concerns on the following grounds. So those included that the scheme is contrary to the development plan as it's outside limits and the use should be sited on an existing industrial area. The proposal would be detrimental to visual amenities. The use would give rise to unacceptable noise and disturbance to local residents and indeed footpath users as a result of on-site activities and vehicle movements. This would be exacerbated in the summer with doors and windows likely to be opened. It's also considered that the access off Ashbourne Road into Morlands Drive and the access to the site are not adequate to accommodate likely lorry sizes, leading to inconvenience to residents who park their cars legally in the vicinity of the site. The scheme would cause noise and dust and light pollution in the locality, would impact negatively on wildlife habitats. The application submissions also are considered not to provide sufficient details on traffic levels daily per week in connection with the business, and the County Highway should be required to do such an assessment. So that's been a focus in particular of submissions by are included in the update sheet, and members again referred to that. And it's also considered that any job creation would not outweigh negative impacts. There's also concerns being raised in terms of residential values to properties and also that it would create a precedent for further development on the site. So going through the issues, and it's accepted that, you know, again, it's subjective and balanced opinion on such matters, and you've got the issues such as conversion or alteration of an existing building in proximity to residential properties. But in terms of principle and its visual impact, officers consider that on balance that it's in line with the aims of planning policies, national and local, in terms of diversification alongside an agricultural use, and therefore offers a suitable form of sustainable development. So we're also mindful that it's provisioned for cycle facilities and that there's a bus route between Uttoxeter and Ashbourne with stops outside along the Ashbourne Road. It's also considered that the development, in terms of the alterations to the building, will not significantly harm the visual amenities of the locality. There are also no impacts on heritage assets. In terms of amenity, Environmental Health have been strongly involved in this case and conclude that the scheme would not be likely to have any significant adverse impact on nearby residents through noise or dust emissions subject to the implementations of strict conditions. And I'll come to those at the end. The County Highway Authority consider the submissions to be commensurate to the scheme proposed and have therefore considered the request of the Parish Council and the local resident in terms of providing additional information, but conclude that the specific development proposal raises no significant adverse highway safety issues and that adequate car parking and turning facilities can be provided within the site. the scheme will not impact negatively on the public right-of-way, either definitive or is being presently used. In terms of flood risk and drainage, the scheme would not give rise to increased flooding, is the view, as it will not significantly increase surface water runoff. Where water runoff does occur, the southern roof slope will continue to go to Stokeaway, but the proposal is to take the northern roof slope down into a rainwater harvesting tank. It's also proposed that any new hard surfaced areas be subject to conditions and be subject to drainage requirements as part of any discharge. Moving on to biodiversity and climate change, the scheme largely relates to land already in use for agricultural purposes, including a building and a house standing area. So any loss of habitat would be restricted to the existing field area where there's a turning area, and that can be secured by compensatory planting, secured by condition within lands within the applicant's ownership. The scheme incorporates water recycling, as mentioned, in terms of rainwater harvesting and solar panels, along with proposed insulation works to the internal elevations and roof panels, and as such has had due regard to the council's climate change aims. Bringing all matters to a conclusion, and hope I haven't gone on too long because I'm trying to obviously give both sides of the case. The officer conclusion is that it complies with the overall aims of the local plan and SPDs and the National Planning Policy Framework, and that we've worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that improves the economic, social and environmental conditions of the area. In doing so, we believe that we've balanced and interrogated the concerns raised by local residents and the parish council and the local member. So as a consequence, officers and taking on board the relevant statutory consultees will move that the application be approved subject to conditions, with the minor change as set out in the update sheet to the approved plans list in condition 2. And just to cover all the bases in terms of how bespoke most of the conditions are to the site, just would draw members' attention to the fact that in terms of impacts on residential amenities, condition 4 puts in place the noise mitigation plan. Condition 11 requires the mitigation and insulation to be operative. Condition 12 relates to waste storage on the site. Condition 13 controls lighting provision. Condition 14 provides that the vent scheme be operational and be maintained in accordance with the noise mitigation plan. Condition 16 restricts the use specifically to the construction of holiday lodges. Condition 17 relates to the hours of operation and the days of operation, which is Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Condition 18 puts the control that no more than 3 lodges shall be dispatched on vehicles from the application site in any calendar year. Condition 19 requires that doors and windows be retained closed at all times. And condition 20 requires no working on outside areas other than for the loading of vehicles for transportation. Highways conditions are also dealt with in terms of making sure that the widened access is in place before any use comes into provision, as is also the case with car parking, cycling provision and turning facilities, which all require to be provided and maintained. And that in terms of ecology, there's a construction ecology management plan in place and landscaping with ecology compensatory. So taking all those matters on board, officers move to recommend approval.
Thank you for that report. We've got a number of speakers on this item, so I'm just going to divert away from the way the speakers are listed on the sheet and sort of ask for the councillor, ward councillor Steve Sankey, to speak first.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I've been asked by a number of residents who've raised concerns about this particular application. I personally do not object to the application providing the mitigating actions are addressed. And that's why I've got a number of concerns, particularly around highways issues and the noise side. So providing they are dead, because the actual applicants have tried in their application to address a number of issues. I just want to make sure that the two main ones, concerns that residents have got, are addressed. The highways one, I've lived in that area for a number of years before moving out of the area, so I've not got any interest in that one. And regularly there are cars parked on that road. That has been, although noticed that the pictures were noticeably empty at that particular time, and previous past, the police have actually, when there's been accidents on the main road, suggested that they move onto the side roads if they can. And I was also surprised that we're now applying application of the highway code to all our applications. So I'd be interested to know if we're going to do that with all our applications, Chair, on that particular point. So I've got concerns around that, but if the County Council says that it is perfectly valid and there is a solution to it, fine. But I'd like to make sure that the residents are clear, because I have got concerns about that particular aspect. Noise reduction, the noise side, that is a concern, because the concern around that is particularly around important to the residents. And I'm pleased that there is a proposal to have a noise mitigation management plan, which I fully support. The questions I've got is around what the measurements are going to be, right? So in one document, which I can't find the point at the moment, any noise produced during the manufacturing process will be significantly reduced from that of the cattle that had previously occupied the site. Now, we have got a farmer in this room who might be advised as what the noise level of cattle is considered, which is an unusual measure for me. But I think I would like to feel that the noise mitigation plan had got clear, targetable measures of which it was going to hit, that they're going to aim to achieve. So that's my main area of concern around that. And I would also like, if I may, Chair, to ask, given as a number of residents have asked that would be visible to the residents who have raised concerns about noise prior to it being finally accepted as the condition has been moved forward. So when they come back with the mitigation plan, I would like to see that the residents who have raised that and myself see it before that condition has been met, if I may suggest that. Because I have got concerns about that there doesn't seem to be a clear measure on that. But other than that, that's all I've got. Thank you very much, Chair. Those two key points. Thank you.
Thank you. If I can just ask if the planning officer can make a note of Councillor Sankey's comments on the noise plan and then obviously comment back at the appropriate time. Thank you. If I could ask for Amy Bennett to come forward, please.
Okay. I'm Amy. I work for a local wildlife trust. I've lived in the village for 13 years now, a location specifically chosen for its character, the wildlife, access to countryside and quiet. I believe this development goes against the character of the area by introducing industry to a residential area. It is worth noting here about the numerous industrial estates in close proximity to the site, which are built for exactly this kind of development. Firstly, I would like to discuss the ecological impact. The report completed in October 23 highlights that the area is of value to wildlife, nesting birds, bat flight paths, and feeding and foraging for wildlife. Recommendations have been given for wildlife-sensitive lighting, but they have not been detailed in the applicant's information. The report suggests that construction work should be limited to daylight hours. Has consideration been given to the impact of operations once construction is complete? Operations are stated to be between 9 and 5pm, except when loading completed lodges. Lighting considerations have not been detailed for these circumstances. There is an acknowledgement of a pair of tawny owls residing nearby. In the further information provided by the applicant, it says it is unusual for tawny owls to roost slash nest near buildings. This simply highlights the impact that this building change of use will have with more light and noise in the area. When considering the impact of noise and traffic, thought has been given to the transport of completed lodges. However, there is no acknowledgement of the vehicles transporting materials and staff moving to and from the site. This will create a constant flow of traffic and noise to our quiet village. In addition, the east gable, fully opening bifold door, is orientated towards the back of our garden and will cause added disturbance. The building proposed is now 1 metre higher than the original building, which is, of course, more imposing. A further concern I would like to raise is in reference to our waterways. Proposed access has been widened and a turning circle created, which increases the footprint of the proposal and the surface area vulnerable to runoff. Rainwater will be collected and used to wash vehicles, etc., as detailed by the applicant. This would then flow into the South Soakway, which leads eventually to the River Dove. Has consideration been given to the pollution that this will introduce to our watercourses? The Southern Soakway runs into the stream behind our houses and through a neighbour's garden. At times of heavy rainfall, something which is more and more common, the waterway floods and risks our properties. The increased surface area will put pressure on this system, yet no details have been provided about what mitigation measures are in place for this.
Thank you. If I can ask for Anita Garbett to come forward, please.
So I'd just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to highlight some of my concerns and worries. The main concern is for the future. There is a lot of time and effort, not to mention cost, in the initiation of this project to produce 3 lodges a year. Surely there are alternative units available in designated areas nearby that are already set up for industrial use and production. This in itself leads me to worry that the starting point is the production of 3 lodges, but the end point may be a lot larger, with the overall goal expanding, potentially combining Wallash Farm with Mayfield Snuggery, both of which the applicants own, to create a much larger enterprise. There have been several amendments to the initial plans and the mention of building classifications B, maybe R, and currently E. What does this mean? Is the venture grown before planning has been approved, or was it wrongly classified in the first place? Another amendment that's been highlighted is the effect of the transport vehicle entering and exiting Wallash Farm, requiring the production of the sweep pass analysis. The B5023 can be busy and congested at times, and this would further impact the size of the vehicle required to transport the lodges. I believe the sweep pass analysis highlighted that some of the existing roads and site entrances may need widening to accommodate the vehicles. This increases my existing concerns for the safety and integrity of residents' parked vehicles, of which several have been damaged in the past, both on the B5023 and Moorlands Drive. These alterations to the entrances, along with the initial construction work required to set up the project and the ongoing disturbances caused by the production of the lodges, will cause noise pollution affecting residents' life. Wildlife residents will also be affected and displaced from their environment and may not return. While I appreciate that the operating hours stated to be Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m, not all residents work conventional hours and therefore will be affected more by the disturbance of industrial units, however big or small. The noise produced will not be the natural sounds of wildlife and farming that we currently enjoy as a background noise. I love where I live. The peace and tranquility is a balm to the hectic lives that we lead, and I would hate to lose this. I feel privileged to have found such a place to call home and therefore feel I need to ensure it remains this way. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could ask for Brian Walker to come, please.
Chair, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. My wife and I are the owner-occupiers of 3 Moorlands Drive, very adjacent to Wallash Farm. You will have seen it today in your site visit. We bought the property new in 1993. At that time, the small holding was in operation and so was the funeral business. So I made a conscious decision to purchase. There is noise from farming. A farmer will confirm that. And it's 24 hours a day. Not all year round, but it's 24 hours a day when you separate cattle from young, as a for instance. The funeral business was also 24 hours a day. You will have noted double gates today on that driveway. My bedroom is very close to them. I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've heard that gate clunk at night when the funeral business has been operational. So there is noise in that area already. Some of it's at night, some of it's in the day. And very often tractors ride up and down that drive, or did, and you hear them. Unavoidable. So two businesses ran on that site for the whole of the time that I've lived there. The change now is that actually agriculture continues on that site. The fields are in use. I see the stock. But nothing else is going on, and the buildings are basically standing idle. That for me is not really very acceptable. I would rather see them put to use than go to dilapidation. I see it as an opportunity for some local employment, low level indeed, but it brings a little bit of employment to the area. It's also an opportunity for a local business to test its business model and its viability. The issue of access is a concern, even for me, and I am a supporter. There have been instances over those years where it has been impossible for delivery vehicles to get into that driveway. Not necessarily because of the road width, but because they've only got access to one lane of it, because very often we have parked vehicles. Some of them are local, and some of them belong to those people who pop along and walk their dogs on the public footpaths, quite legally. I can recall the previous owner having to unload straw bales on his own tractor to get them down his yard as a case. There are many other things I could say. I could talk about the nature that we've just been listening to. I will be sitting tonight in my garden, well actually not in the garden, probably in the conservatory if it's this cold, and I will be watching the bats, and I'll be watching the great spotted woodpeckers, and I'll be watching all the other birds that come to my garden, and the tawny owl, and probably the little owl. I support this application. I think it will be self-restricting if it's successful.
Thank you. If I can have the final speaker, Ruby Stanley, please.
Myself and my husband have both grown up in Mayfield. Both of our families have lived in Mayfield for over 100 years. We're very passionate about where we live and we hope to reside in Mayfield for the rest of our lives. We've worked incredibly hard to get where we are today, building our successful family holiday lodge business up from the ground, known as Mayfield Snug. Sorry. After buying the neighbouring farm in 2022, we are now seeking planning permission to start a new, very small-scale lodge manufacturing business from our premises, just 180 metres away from our holiday lodges and approximately 350 metres from our house. We currently have a small flock of sheep at the farm and rent some of the land to a local farmer for his cows and sheep. The past 14 months have been extremely hard for us. Our mortgage payments for the farm have been so high, with such little coming in from renting the farmland out. It is not viable for us to keep the farm going as it is now. We need it to start bringing in a substantial income. The only other option for us is to start intensive farming, which we do not particularly want to do, as we feel this could cause a whole different set of issues. Our holiday lodges are proving very popular, and on many occasions we have been approached by our guests or people on social media asking if we would consider building the lodges for people to either live in on their own land or to do similar to us and rent as holiday lets. The staycation sector has become very popular since COVID, with many people choosing to stay in our beautiful country than to go abroad as they did before. This can be seen with the success of Mayfield Snuggery. We would like other people to share in this success with us in our British-built lodges made from sustainable sources, supporting local businesses and manufactured by local people and tradesmen. The new business we are proposing would utilise our own land and buildings. The business would benefit the local community by creating 3 full-time positions in marketing, interior design and sales. We would also encourage sustainable means of transport to and from the site, and if granted, we would be proud to become a British manufacturer. We'd want nothing more than to make the new business as successful as Mayfield Snuggery, and we do not wish to upset our neighbours or our holiday guests. We would give neighbouring properties advance notice of large vehicle movements to ensure clear access to the main road. We endeavour to make every effort to keep the area peaceful and tranquil. Thank you for your time today. Thank you.
Thank you. If I now open the floor up for debate, the committee members. Do I have any speaker wishing to speak to start with? Councillor Whittaker. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry, just before we go to the floor, I'll just get planning officer back in to address the comments made by Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, you asked me to make some response. So there was a lot of points covered by Councillor Sankey and the other speakers. So obviously, opening the floor to debate, I thought it would be useful just to make these points. So in terms of the cars on the road, I mean the slide wasn't picked from any particular. It was just on the file. It was taken by the previous case officer, Femke Rort, when she was out on site. So. Obviously, the circumstances of cars on the road change at any particular time and any particular point of time of the day. In terms of the point Councillor Sankey made about the highway code and planning, the question about the proximity of parking to a junction was raised by members at the meeting this morning, and they asked me to go away and provide that detail, and that's the detail I provided as a factual statement. The highway code isn't part of the Planning Act. It's governed by the police, of course, so therefore it was a factual statement in terms of the question I was asked. In terms of the cattle noise, which was mentioned and in the submissions, in terms of any planning application submission, obviously officers look at that in the round and interrogate it. So just to assure members that in terms of the noise issue, that Environmental Health have actually looked at the proposals, and it's them, and in conjunction with them, that the condition has been worded. Environmental Health officers obviously deal with noise all the time, so therefore the whole consequence of the condition is to get the absolute details and to run it past them and to agree to it, because they work to industrial standards. It wouldn't be normal for a consultation to go out for on a discharge of condition, specifically given that it's an in-house matter in terms of that legislation. There was questions raised in terms of details. As often as members will be familiar with, applications come to committee, and where some details are considered to be needing further information, they're put subject to conditions. So in terms of the lighting, which was referred to, that's dealt with under condition 13, and again that would be looked at in conjunction with necessary specialist in-house detail. Similarly, in terms of drainage, the concerns about drainage and the additional surface areas, they're also covered by condition, so requiring additional details, for example, in terms of the additional hard surfacing for the turning area and the alterations to the access, they're covered by conditions 7 and 9. Again, in terms of any application submission, it's quite common that an ecological report be submitted, and in support of an application, again, it's interrogated, and a condition number 5 is put on to, again, require specific details. So you're always dealing with bespoke and to deal with particular issues. In terms of the future concerns and the linkage to other businesses and the potential for expansion, members will often hear from officers. We have to consider each case on its own merit. The members are used to that process. And in terms of the use, that has been clarified during the application process. As one of the speakers pointed out, it needed clarification. That took place. There was a revised description and a revised consultation. And again, the condition specifies the particular use involved, if that helps clarify those particular points.
Thank you for that clarification, Alan. And now, if I open the floor up for debate, I believe Councillor Whittaker wanted to speak first.
I was going to ask after all that. obviously, as a farmer, I totally understand the situation regarding farming. And as an owner of some Holiday Lodges as well, I can see, you know, why you want to diversify into that. Certain issues to have with this, the turning circle, which I've struggled to see how an Arctic can turn on that circle. And the loss of the introduction of sort of urban form in that respect, that worries me a little. The access is probably is also a concern. Noise levels, I think, you know, restricted those hours, I can't see a problem with the noise levels or dust levels. Just one question, the land opposite where the cars are parked, whose ownership is that under? Opposite the entrance, there's a parcel of land. They look quite an open sort of space on that side, that's all.
I was going to say that those areas are commonly left when developers build out houses. So they tend to, I mean, obviously we don't carry land ownership on an instant basis. I mean, you can do a land registry search, but I would have thought maybe some of the residents may know who looks after it on a sort of maintained basis.
Yeah, it was just a question regarding the ownership, thinking if there's any way you could mediate against the park and just opposite, adjacent to the driveway. It was just a point of mediation, really.
Okay, so I guess for the purposes of the application, because the applicants don't own it, they've got no control over that particular land, so we couldn't kind of take it into consideration, I suppose, is the answer to the planning.
Well, no, coming back, if it was under parish council ownership, it might be sort of something that could be discussed between the two. That's the only point I meant by it.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. I, again, am concerned about the noise. I can remember many years ago standing in Marchington listening to extractor fans and saws from an industrial unit there. It was nowhere near as close as these houses are. in this village, so it does concern me to make sure that extractor fans are as quiet as possible and they've got good cladding, please.
Thank you. Councillor Jones.
Can we just ask the County Council Highway Officer to deal with the issues that Councillor Whittaker raised about the turning circle and his concerns there and with the access?
Basically, they're produced by industry standard software where you put in a scale drawing, bring in the vehicle that you want, and literally drive it round. And it leaves those tracks as where you've taken it. It's an AutoCAD add-on, and it's accepted industry-wide as being suitable for making these kinds of predictions, if you like.
I think you raised the issue of the turning circle as well. That with
yeah, I mean, as far as the turning at the end is concerned, it doesn't impact on the highway, so it's an issue for whoever's driving to get round. They're not going to reverse from there out into the highway. It's too far. They'll get round in there. And the Arctics do actually turn tighter than some of the other, as you probably know, some Pantechnicon-type vehicles. So they do have a tight turning circle, and that's, again, done by an industry standard piece of software.
Thank you. Councillor Slater. Sorry. Councillor Slater.
Thank you. Going back to report, the footpath. Sorry, I've written it down somewhere and lost it in a minute. It's an informative for the footpath to be diverted, is it? Or do we have to apply a condition to say you must do it in a certain time? What I'm getting at is you mentioned it, so could they just leave it forever and not do it? Or is it worth us insisting that the footpath is diverted when we're approving these plans or not?
Okay, so the point on the footpath is that these plans don't impact on that footpath at all, whether it be the definitive route or the existing use route. So these plans don't actually impact on it. The applicants have been made aware of the fact that there's the building that, well, obviously they bought the site, and they're being made aware of the fact that they will have to make a diversion because that building, so the building that's not subject to this application, which is this building here, will have to divert, they will have to make an application to divert the footpath because it's already here. Well, we have to make the applicants, because they weren't aware of the fact it's come up as part of the application process that this building was built in 2018 over the route of the definitive footpath, because it's not the route of what people are walking on a day-to-day basis. So they know that they have to do that. We can add it on as an informative to remind them again. Yeah, the footpath's still being used, yeah, by people. Yeah, we could have walked it today, yeah.
And just to clarify, yes, it's not the Borough Council who would enforce that.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, just one question. Tawny owls have been mentioned quite a lot, and I know in your report 13.4 covers the looking after of those tawny owls. Without getting the report up, are bats and things covered as well? There were mention of bats on the site.
Yeah, the mention of bats and the wildlife and the various impacts was mentioned in the context of lighting, which is the reason why the lighting condition's on, because you can specify a particular lighting scheme, and then obviously in terms of in terms of an agricultural building, people could put lights on in any context. So it's obviously having due regard, and people now, as again, know there's industry standards. I mean, by all means, we can, if we want to emphasise the point to the applicants that it needs to be bat friendly, we can again add a note to applicant on to specifically reference condition 13.
That might be useful, I think, just from that point of view.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chairman. Just wondering, is the officer can advise us, do we have any special provisions for construction traffic? During the constructions, is there anything we can think about how we can minimize the inconvenience of the neighborhood? And also, one of the speakers, if I refer to Amy, just mentioned a wildlife report of 2023 October. So is there any reference in your report on this wildlife impact on that report?
Sorry, Councillor, I didn't quite catch the end bit. There was a mention about 2023 report.
Yes. The wildlife report that one of the speakers, Amy, referred to, that you haven't included in this report. Do you agree that it has not been included? If not, why?
Yes, Councillor, saying that it has been taken on board and included, because that's why the construction ecology management plan is on as a condition at point 5. So, but in terms of the building works, I mean, it's a relatively modest scheme. So, in terms of, you wouldn't normally put a construction management plan in place for that. But I mean, again, if members are minded to, consider that's necessary. I mean, the works will entail, as we saw, just increasing the height of the building and increasing the floor area. It can get put on as a construction management plan condition if members so wish.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Just to mention, there is no lights at the moment outside on that property. So at the minute then it has dark sky. We're adding lights to it. Can the, like Councillor Ashcroft said, be bat sensitive? And also, can we think about the neighbours' back gardens that look onto there, that there's some sort of shading and timer put on it so the lights aren't on all night? Thanks.
To address those two points. So the first point was the bat sensitive thing. I'd recommended that you put it on as an informative to mention that to the residents. In terms of the illumination, that would be a case of doing it as a condition, so you would actually be requiring that there be no lights on between a particular point in time. So obviously we know what the hours of operation are. Now obviously there will also be an issue of potential security as well. So it's difficult without asking the applicants directly. If I could do that through the chair, then maybe we could, because it's not been brought up any part of the process previously. So we could ask that from the chair if you wish to do so.
Yes, please, Chair.
Thank you. If I could ask the applicant to just come forward and clarify for the lighting side of things, if possible. Just so we're clear. Oh, right, okay. Oh.
So the specific question was about whether you would be capable of putting a restriction in terms of what time the lights would actually be on at the site. So so obviously I can't put words into your mouth. So it obviously there is issues.
I mean, obviously it depends on, the building that we'll be using. We can do, but in terms of housing the farm, we still need lights. and as current existing lights. There's a security light also on the existing funeral directors, because the funeral director obviously needs light at all hours of the day. So yeah, we can put restrictions on lighting for that the building in the agenda. However, we still need certain lighting for the farming side.
I was just going to say is that there's obviously the question was for was to answer to members' question. So it's whether we can't only control the application side, because that's all that's in front of us in terms of the application proposal. So it'd be really up to members now to decide whether they want to put a restriction in terms of the lighting on the application side.
I think with the condition with the lighting, it's like the applicants obviously suggested that the building is being used for farming use as well as the new application. It's going to be difficult to put a condition on for lighting. Councillor Legg, do you want to just come back on that?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm happy to continue for lighting for the farm. I'm on about unnecessary lighting as it is a dark sky space. I didn't see any other lights other than security lights. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm going to point out that there is a conditional that we have set about in terms of the lighting, in terms of the actual controls of the lighting levels, the lighting kind. It was just the question was raised by members whether they wanted to make sure that lights were off at a particular time. But I mean, there's a distance between residential properties. The lighting conditions on for the specific purpose of wildlife and residential amenity. So therefore, when the detailed scheme is sent in, that's what officers will be looking at to ensure that it doesn't shine lights directly into people's property and that it's bat friendly. And that was the purpose of putting the informative on as well.
Yeah, okay, I'm happy with that then.
Sorry, Councillor, can I just add to that, please? As in, we will be reducing lighting as it is, because the sheds that are there now that are being farmed from all have halogen lights in, so the lumen of them is going to be then enclosed. So we're going to be reducing the light on site as it is within the planning. Thank you.
That's fine, thank you. Yep, if you want to just head back. Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? No further speakers. If we can just make a note of the informative for the BAT issue that was discussed by Councillor Ashcroft. Councillor Legg, sorry, did you want to come back?
And the owl.
Sorry, and the owls. Right, so moving forward now, obviously we've got an application for an existing building altered to provide for holiday lodges. We've listened to the comments from the objectors, the ward councillor, the applicant, the supporters, and also quite a comprehensive report from the planning officer. Do I have any committee member would like to propose to take the application forward for approval at this stage? Councillor Jones for approval.
Chair, yes, I'd like to move that we approve the application. The ward councillor was happy, subject to condition of noise in the highway, and as far as I'm concerned, those issues do seem to have been dealt with by the officers, so I'm happy to propose that that is approved.
Thank you. And Councillor Ashcroft, can I take you as a seconder? Thank you. Right, so we've got a proposer and we've got a seconder for approval, subject to the conditions that were mentioned, and I believe the planning officers made note of what was requested. If we can see a show of hands for all those in favour of the application. Thank you, that's the unanimous decision, so we'll consider that as application has been approved subject to conditions mentioned. Thank you. If anybody would like to leave at this point before we move on to the next item, please do so.